It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel. Today's question is, can I provide an update to the shooting on the Rust movie set? Second question here, could this shooting justify a negligent homicide charge? First, I'll go through the background in this case, including updated information from my last video, then I'll offer my updated analysis. On October 21, 2021, Alec Baldwin was acting in a low-budget Western titled Rust. He was also one of several producers of the film. The movie was being filmed on the Bonanza Creek Ranch outside Santa Fe, New Mexico. The character Harland Rust was played by Alec Baldwin. The crew was working on a scene in a small wooden church where Harland has to shoot his way out after being cornered by a sheriff and a U.S. Marshal. There had been some labor problems during the filming of the movie, including on this day. Several of the union crew members had actually left that day, and they were replaced by non-union crew members. They had been unhappy about a variety of issues, including the fact that they had to drive from Albuquerque because the production company would not pay for a hotel, and they were concerned about poor safety conditions on the set. There had been at least two unintentional discharges of firearms 5 days earlier, on October 16. At 12:30 p.m., everybody took a break for lunch. A van transported the crew to a catering tent. The firearms and ammunition that were being used in the movie, so they were being used as props, were supposed to be locked in a truck on the set, but some of the ammunition was left on a cart outside that vehicle. When the crew returned from lunch, the prop master opened the safe and handed firearms to Hannah Gutierrez Reed, who was the head armorer. This is the person responsible for the firearms and ammunition. At this point, Gutierrez Reed selected a Pieta Long Colt 45 caliber revolver and handed the weapon to Dave Halse. He was the assistant director and also had responsibility in terms of firearm safety. This particular weapon was a single action revolver, which means that the hammer is cocked to rotate the cylinder and the trigger is pulled to fire. Pulling the trigger will not rotate the cylinder and pull the hammer back in one action. That occurs in a double action revolver. There are many different types of cylinder configurations in revolvers. One of the most well-known in movies is the swing-out cylinder. There are also break-action revolvers. This revolver I'm talking about here is not one of those types. Rather, it has a cylinder that does not swing out. It is always in the frame of the pistol. The weapon is put in a half-cock position, so the hammer is partially pulled back as opposed to being pulled all the way back. An ejector rod mounted on the barrel is used to eject each spent case one at a time. The cylinder has to be rotated to align each chamber with the ejector rod. So it's actually quite difficult to load and unload as compared to a weapon with a swing-out cylinder or as compared to a break-action revolver. The safety procedure was such that Gutierrez Reed was supposed to show the weapon to Dave Halse. He was supposed to check the barrel for obstructions and have her open the loading gate of the revolver and spin the cylinder so he could examine the contents of each chamber of that cylinder. Dave Halse told detectives that he could not recall whether Gutierrez Reed rotated the cylinder so he could examine every chamber. He also told the police that he should have checked all the chambers, but he did not. Baldwin was handed the revolver by Dave Halse, who incorrectly announced the gun as cold, meaning it did not contain a live round or a blank. Baldwin did not check the weapon,
and was not aware that there was a live round loaded in the revolver. Baldwin was seated in a church pew and was supposed to be practicing drawing from a shoulder holster and pointing the weapon toward the lens of the camera. This type of draw that Baldwin was attempting is referred to as a cross draw, so he was reaching across his body and retrieving the firearm from the other side. This is often seen in situations where the person drawing the weapon is seated. At 1:48 p.m., Baldwin drew the revolver and pointed it at the camera and the cinematographer, Elena Hutchins, who was behind the camera. He fired a single round, which mortally wounded Hutchins. The bullet passed through her and injured the director, Joel Souza. It is not clear when Baldwin pulled the hammer back. The hammer may have been pulled back as the gun was resting in his holster, or he may have cocked the weapon as he drew it.
The truth about the Haditha massacre has been covered up, but not anymore.
I know you know what happened.
They went into houses and killed women and children.
What are you thinking?
What a mess.
U.S. Marines murdered innocent civilians in cold blood.
And at the center of it all
is 25-year-old Sergeant Frank Wooderich.
And me. Murder in House 2. A new podcast from Crowd Network.
On the morning of August 1st, 1966, shots ring out from the observation deck of the clock tower on the University of Texas campus. It marks the infamous beginning of the modern era of mass shootings in America.
You're listening to Stop the Killing podcast. Join us as we take you behind the crime scene tape to explain global mass shootings and mass attacks. I'm Sarah Ferris, but more importantly, this is Catherine Schweit, the former head of the FBI's active shooter program.
I spent 5 years as the FBI's top executive looking for answers to the mass shooting crisis. I've been at the shooting scenes, I've traced heroic acts of bravery, and I've sat silently and listened to the heart-wrenching stories from survivors.
Amongst this horror, there is hope. We all hold the key to stop the killing. You just need to know how to unlock the door. Download Stop the Killing and be part of the solution. Search Stop the Killing on Apple, Spotify, and all the usual suspects.
At the time making this video, no charges have been filed. Alec Baldwin called the shooting a one-in-a-trillion event. He said that he was interested in talking about limiting firearms on movie sets. Here are a few of my thoughts about some of the new items of information that became available since my last video on this topic. Item number one. In 2019, Dave Halls was fired from a movie after an unintentional discharge occurred on the set. One crew member was injured. Item number two. A key grip working on a movie titled The Old Way claimed that he saw Gutierrez Reed discharge two weapons that she was holding. Apparently, the discharges were unannounced, which does not mean they were unintentional. As I mentioned before in my last video on this topic, Gutierrez Reed also mentioned in a podcast that she was worried she didn't have enough experience to be an armorer. Item number three, it's apparent that the crew on this movie set had an astounding lack of knowledge about firearms. Just like any piece of machinery being used to make a movie, they were responsible to understand how the weapons functioned. Just a few examples of the lack of knowledge. Dave Halls told detectives that Gutierrez Reed was supposed to open the hatch of the revolver and spin the drum. I think what he means here is that she was supposed to open the loading gate and spin the cylinder. I can understand why somebody would use the term hatch if they don't really understand the weapon, but I don't know how he came up with the term drum. A drum magazine is a specific type of magazine used in other weapons, not in revolvers. Maybe it was a musical reference. Like he would say, here's a revolver, hold it by the trumpet, and watch where you point that guitar. His choice of terms really doesn't make any sense. Another concern would be the use of the term misfire. Reports indicate that several crew members use this term to refer to unintentional discharges. A misfire is when the trigger is pulled, but the weapon does not fire. Often this is an ammunition problem. If the weapon is discharged when the operator does not intend it to be discharged, the correct term would be unintentional discharge. Item number four, the police have confirmed that a live round was used in the shooting. They do not believe there was a bullet lodged in the barrel. Rather, one of the cases in the firearm was from a live cartridge. So prior to the discharge, there was a complete cartridge in one of the chambers. It had a bullet, powder, primer, and a case. So this was not a complex shooting like we saw with the movie The Crow, where there were multiple points of failure and a bullet became lodged in the barrel. This was simple. Somebody loaded a live cartridge in the weapon. Live cartridges should not have been on the set, but even if they were, why would somebody have loaded one into the weapon? There are unconfirmed rumors that members of the crew were using the guns with live ammunition earlier that day, presumably for target practice. Here's my theory about what happened in this case based on the information available right now. I think that somebody brought live ammunition onto the set in order to have some fun with the firearms. They didn't understand how to operate the weapon, so they accidentally left one live cartridge in the cylinder. The whole business with setting the hammer to half cock, opening the loading gate, spinning the cylinder, and using the ejector rod was just too complex for them. Both Gutierrez Reed and Dave Hulse failed to properly inspect the weapon. Alec Baldwin failed to check it as well. He pulled the hammer back so the weapon was ready to fire, pointed it at a human being and at a camera, and pulled the trigger. Moving to the last question, should this incident result in criminal charges? As I mentioned, at the time making this video, there have been no charges. Everybody is presumed innocent. Here are my thoughts about charges. It seems very clear that no one intended for anyone to die, so first and second degree murder would be off the table. This brings us to the area of negligent homicide, like manslaughter. According to the law in New Mexico, manslaughter is the unlawful killing of a human being without malice. There are two types, voluntary and involuntary. Voluntary manslaughter is committed upon a sudden quarrel or in the heat of passion. That would not apply in this case. Involuntary manslaughter is committed in the commission of an unlawful act not amounting to a felony, or in the commission of an unlawful act which might produce death in an unlawful manner, or without due caution or circumspection. It is a fourth-degree felony punishable by 18 months in prison. It is reasonable to believe that involuntary manslaughter may apply if failing to check to see if a weapon is loaded would qualify as lacking due caution or circumspection. Everything is hinged on that particular point. What does it mean to exercise due caution and circumspection? In my opinion, Gutierrez Reed, Dave Hulse, and Alec Baldwin are all vulnerable to being charged with involuntary manslaughter. I think the case against Baldwin would be difficult to successfully prosecute because he's an actor and it wasn't necessarily his job to check the weapon. It still doesn't make any sense that he would point it at a human being and pull the trigger, but I could see a jury giving him a pass. One could argue that Baldwin was also a producer, but that gets more into a civil liability area. As far as Gutierrez Reed and Dave Hulse, I think a conviction would certainly be possible. Again, it's all about the interpretation of due caution and circumspection. So, they may be in some trouble. A woman lost her life on that movie set. The justice system needs to hold people involved in her death responsible for their actions.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.
Allegedly is back for season 2, a new crime every time. In each episode of Allegedly, you'll hear a crime told to you by the person who experienced it, intermingled with actor portrayals, original music, immersive soundscapes, to create a cinematic experience for your ear. Season 2's stories include a young woman finding salvation in God, only to realize the leader of her church was running a sex cult. A case of a con artist swindling a kindly older man until he couldn't do anything to stop her. A landlord exploiting a mentally disabled man and keeping him a virtual prisoner. An act of bullying spinning a promising young man's life into total chaos. And a luxury boat captain inexplicably detained in a foreign prison with seemingly no hope of ever getting out. New episodes release every other week. Look for Allegedly from Voyage Media anywhere you listen to podcasts.